Good evening. We're going to start out by reading a couple of scriptures. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And verse number 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authorities? Do what is good, and you will have praise from God. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Sorry, verse number 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Turn, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Starting at verse number 1. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Sorry, verse number 17. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. These verses have something in common, is that they all has to do with the government and government laws and those who are in governing authorities. Some have drawn the conclusion that all the laws that has been made in this land that have been passed, and all the acts and ordinances have been passed, and this land by the government, that every one of them we are to support and follow and stand up for because they are legal. Taking the word legal, stopping for a moment, and just looking at the definition that Mr. Webster gives for legal, he says that legal defined is based upon or authorized by law. Goes on to say that permitted by law is another meaning that in terms of law. So thinking about legal, because something is legal, many people have drawn the conclusion that it's okay. We can support it. We can be a part of it. But you know that everything that's legal is not something that we ought to support. So this evening, here's my lesson. Here's the title. The title is Legal But Sinful. Legal but sinful. And there's a whole list of things that I probably could list that are legal, that have been passed by the government, that Congress or even your local government have gotten together and voted upon this side. This is legal in this state, or this is legal in this county, or legal in this country. That some of the things that are legal are sinful. I picked out a couple of that we're going to look at just for a short moment. First of all, at the top of the list, you probably already know, it's one that usually comes up when it's time for someone to run for office, whether it be president or whether it be governor or representative. The first question usually asked is where does he or she stand on abortion? What about abortion? That's usually one of the big issues. I've noticed that Brother Steve usually pray about it. I hope he continue to pray about it. And you and I, man, we always continue to pray about it. Abortion goes all the way back really to 1969 when it got started with this lady who had gotten pregnant, who was living in Texas, and she understood the law in Texas was only for rape and incest. So she got a couple of lawyers and then they fought it, and then around about 1973, Roe versus Wade decision was passed. I think it was 7-2, Supreme Court, that legalized abortion. From that time on, millions and millions of innocent babies have been put to death, or rather, murdered, you could say. And when talking with people, many will argue from the standpoint, well, it's legal. Because it's legal, it's okay, we can practice that. Because it's legal, I can support it. Everything that's legal, you and I cannot support. Because there are some things that are legal, but yet, when looked in the light of Scripture, they're sinful. To practice, to support, to encourage, and to be a part of. And one of them is abortion. As we look at abortion through the Scriptures, turn to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. We'll start with verse number 17. Verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wickedness, wicked plans. Shedding of innocent blood. Wouldn't this scripture be used to condemn abortion? Aren't those who are practicing abortion and supporting abortion, aren't they killing and murdering the innocent people? The innocent? Is the innocent blood being shed? Not only that, in verse number 18, a heart that devises a wicked plan. It takes a wicked heart to sit down and think about killing an innocent baby. Legal. Most states. But yet, in light of the scripture, it's sinful to practice it, to support it, to be a part of it. Some would go on to say, not only is it legal, but you know, the majority of the people, they're for it. A great part of the people, everybody's doing it. Remember the passage from Exodus. In Exodus chapter, in the book of Exodus chapter 23. In Exodus 23, verse number 2, it says, You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Because many other people are doing in society, you and I should not do it, nor follow it, nor be a part of it, nor support it. Even though it's being legal, it's still sinful. Deuteronomy and Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 13. When Moses brought the law down to the people, Moses said, "You shall not murder." Some people say, "Oh, that's in the old law." But you flip through the New Testament, you see it again, where it speaks about not to murder. Isn't that what's going on when abortion takes place? Murdering an innocent child. Oh, but it's legal. I say again, legal, but sinful. And Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus would say this, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." My question would be to those who are going to actually have an abortion, would you want someone to come along the very next day and abort your life? The answer would probably be no. Then why would you want to take the life of an innocent child? Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." First Corinthians chapter 13. First Corinthians chapter 13. Most of us know that chapter. The chapter deals with love. So the question would be to the abortionists, those who would support abortion, are you a loving person? Is that love that you're displaying? Well, look what the scripture says pertaining to love. It says love suffers long and is kind. Is it kind? Are you being kind when you take that innocent baby and kill it? Where's love at? It's legal, but sinful. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Aren't you being somewhat selfish? When having an abortion, I've heard people say, "Well, I didn't plan this pregnancy. It's going to mess up my career. I'm moving up the ladder. I cannot have this baby. I have to have it put away. In actuality, I must have it murdered." Isn't that being selfish? Love is not selfish. He goes on to say in the bottom part, verse number 5, "Is not provoked, thinks no evil." One who is going to have an abortion, the one who's going to support abortion, isn't that thinking evil? Isn't it evil thinking to sit there and say, "I'm going to take an innocent baby and kill it, murder it, chop it up"? Oh, but it's legal. Yeah, it may be legal. But it's sinful in light of the scriptures. In Romans chapter 12, I'm convinced that Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2 can apply. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Question is, How can a Christian who says they're holy, they're separated from the world, how can a Christian support abortion? How can you say you're holy and different from the world, you're a child of God, but yet you've been conformed to their thinking? You give in to supporting abortion, having abortion, or whatever support you may give, you have been conformed. You've been fashioned. You've been patterned after the world. But hey, some will say it's legal. So what? It may be legal. According to scriptures, it is sinful. I don't know how many people in here get the Sunday paper. I didn't have time to read it this morning, but I did kind of glimpse over it this afternoon. In the business section, big picture down the business section, front cover. If you remember, it's all about gambling. About this big building they're going to build on the west side of town. This gambling company, this gaming company, really gambling. They're going to come in and get this big building built. And it says even though they're a tough time, that they believe that gambling can be successful in Ohio. That's the next one we're going to talk about. Gambling. It's probably legal in most states. Some form or fashion. You look at gambling, you find gambling, it would say that to play games or chance for money or some other stake, to take a risk, to gain some advantage, to risk in gambling, bet, or wager. Think about gambling, you think about lottery, you think about horse betting, football pools, slot machines, even pitching pennies. I'm quite sure some of us in here as teenagers coming up probably pitched some pennies. And you can go on and on and on and talk about all the different ways of gambling. And when talking with people about gambling and the sinful, horrible things that gambling bring with it, most people will say, hey, at least it's legal. They're not breaking the law. Tell you something, people. Because it's legal, it's still sinful. What's so wrong with gambling? Well, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, sorry, verse number 1 down through 2, Paul talks about being a steward of the gospel. And then verse number 2, he kind of gives a characteristic of what a steward is. He says a steward is to be faithful. When we think of a steward, we think of one who is in charge of something belonging to someone else. Originally, it has the meaning of a manager of a house to manage. You think about that and you think about what God has blessed you and I to have. Many things, and he has blessed you and I to have money. We are to be stewards of that money. We are to use it wisely. When one take his hard-earned paycheck and his wife's hard-earned paycheck and take it down there and bet it on the horses, it's not being a good steward of that which God has blessed you with. Oh, but it's legal. It may be legal. I stand before you saying it's sinful. In light of scriptures. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Kind of goes along with the same thing was said in Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Do unto others what you have them do unto you. Let me ask you a question. You and I sitting on at the table, we're gambling. We're playing poker. We're playing poker for big stakes. There's a whole lot of money on that table. Now, are you sitting over looking at me, hoping and wishing that I win your money? I don't think so. You're sitting there, desiring and hoping to walk away with Jack's money, Jim's money, Beth's money, everybody else's money. You're not doing unto them as you would have them do unto you. In Exodus chapter 20, many years ago, when Moses brought the law down to the people, it will be verse number 17, I think. When he brought the law down to the people, he told the people, thou shalt not covet. Not the loves and desire for something that belongs to someone else. And then Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, he would warn them of being covetous. And then he would go on and say, be content with what you have. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15. See, gambling, one began to covet that which does not belong to him. One began to desire that which does not belong to him. Covetousness can be the groundwork for greediness. We know that it's wrong to be greedy, sinful. Another thing that gambling does, it causes one to set the wrong example. In Matthew chapter 5, before I read the Matthew chapter 5, I heard a Christian tell me this. Oh, well, I know some other Christians that they gamble and they go to worship every Sunday. Well, you know of unfaithful Christians. That's what you know of, unfaithful brethren. Here in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, when I began to gamble, I began to set the wrong example. How can I stand there and play the slot machines? How can I constantly go in there and buy lottery tickets? I'm showing an example to those who aren't Christians that it's okay. See, James, he's a Christian. He gambles. It's okay. Gambling may be legal, but sinful. When we look at it in the light of the scripture, one Christian tried to convince me that, well, as long as you don't gamble no more than a dollar a day, it's okay. Just $1, it's okay. It's not okay. That's like saying, it's okay for me to commit adultery maybe once a year. Come on, people. Gambling puts me out there in the midst of the people. And I begin to set a bad example. By my example, I teach the rest of the world, it's okay to gamble. I'm a Christian, it's okay. That's wrong. It may be legal, but it's still sinful. Thirdly and last, I remember growing up in this little small town in Choctaw County, Alabama. We use some words that they probably don't use up here in the north, probably not in the west nor the east. Wet and dry. This is a wet county, this is a dry county. Some people know what I'm talking about and some don't. I remember we were traveling from a dry county to a wet county taking alcohol. A wet county is a county that has voted and decided that it's okay, it's legal to sell alcohol. A dry county is a county that does not permit the sale or the use of alcohol. I remember it had to have been the mid-70s. Finally, Choctaw County became a wet county. We no longer had to go to Mississippi. We no longer had to go to the other bordering counties to get alcohol. We could buy alcohol in our own little town. And we're so excited. But I saw later on the results of what that did to that county. How it tore lives apart. How it brought down strong men and women. So thirdly and last, drinking of alcohol. It's legal. So what's the big deal? There's nothing wrong with taking a sip here and there. There's nothing wrong with going, you're buying your own six pack or your own fifth of whiskey, whatever you may want to buy. Take it home and drink. It's legal. It may be legal, but it's still sinful. First of all, the acquiring of alcohol would fall under being a wasteful steward of that which God has blessed you to have. You know, there are many things I can think of now that I can buy other than a pint of whiskey. When you're looking in Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 20. In verse number 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Scripture makes it very clear here that being led astray by those things are not wise. A man who picks up a bottle and turns it up and drinks it is not a wise man. Even though it may be legal, it is still sinful. And you and I cannot vote for it. We cannot stand there and defend it. We must let people know that it's wrong. I know brother in the Lord's church that will tell you right now, there's nothing wrong with sipping one here and there. I remember being in Texas in a lectureship. We went downstairs in the hotel, and there sat brothers who had badges there that said, Church of Christ, flipping one up. Something's wrong. Oh, but it's legal. Because it's legal, it's still sinful. In Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah writes about the condition of God's people. At verse number 7, he says, But they also erred through wine and through intoxicating drink, are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through the intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Look how Isaiah described those who should be leading God's people. So they stumble, they err, they're gone astray. They stumble in judgment. They're stumbling, they're having problems making the right decisions. What's caused this? Intoxicating drinks. Alcohol. One person will say, oh, one drink won't bother you. One drink drunk. While you're in the Old Testament, flip back to Proverbs chapter 23. In Proverbs chapter 23, start there, verse number 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long after wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it is sparkling in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I wake that I may seek another drink? How sad. I can remember many that I grew up with having a redness of eyes, saying and doing things that we didn't remember the next day. But as soon as the next morning came, no matter how bad we felt, we wanted another drink. For the writer here in Proverbs says, woe for all the problems and struggles and troubles that consumption of alcohol have caused in this world. When will we learn? When will the rest of the world learn? Some people will say, well, it's legal. It's generating more and more taxes to help this country out. It may be generating more and more taxes to help the country out, but the taxes that have been generated is being used for rehabilitation of those who are drinking alcohol. When are we going to wake up? It may be legal, but sinful. I saw it bring my grandfather down. I saw it bring my stepfather down to the point now that he doesn't even work. Haven't had a full-time job in probably 20 years now. He lives for the next bottle. You probably can think of other people that you know of, maybe even in your family, that alcohol has brought down. What good has it done for this country? Yes, it may be legal, but it's sinful. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. According to my watch, it's still 6 o'clock. I didn't set my watch. Galatians chapter 5, start at verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This seemed to be something that Paul told them once before. He reminded them once more again that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In the midst of all those sins, there's drunkenness. How do you become drunk? By drinking. In Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, right there at verse number 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, what I want to focus on is soberly, which means sound mind. Sound mind. Well, how can I have a sound mind and live righteously and godly and make good decisions if I'm drunk? If I'm drinking? Everyone knows that drinking impairs our thinking. Drinking impairs decision making. I cannot be drinking and living godly and righteously at the same time. Oh, it may be legal, people. You may be able to get on every corner. I never thought you'd be able to buy alcohol in the grocery store, but you can. I remember growing up on a Sunday, they didn't sell it in my little town. Now on a Sunday, you can buy alcohol. It's legal, but it's sinful. Last of all, in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse number 13, going downward, says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Paul encouraged those in Rome to walk properly. Some Bible will say to walk honestly. Some Bible will say to walk decently. There was a certain way they were supposed to live. And then he goes on and says some things not to be a part of. It's part of living this honest, decent life. And one of those is drunkenness. Drinking alcohol is legal, it's popular in this country, it's hard to turn the television on, especially during the time of sports, where they're not promoting it. During the Super Bowl, almost every other commercial is brought to you by some beer company. It's available, it's legal, it's here. But it's sinful to support it, to be a part of it. So as we conclude, there are things in this world that our government has passed as laws, become legal, that are sometimes sinful. It's wrong to practice and be a part of. Abortion is one. Gambling is one. Drinking and partaking in alcohol is another one. In Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 verse 29. When Peter and the apostles are brought before the people, the high courts, and the priests and the high council. Verse number 29 says that Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. And that should be your attitude and that should be my attitude. That when there's some conflict and a legal law, we ought to take the stand with God. We ought to obey God rather than men. How about this evening? As a Christian, is that your attitude? If there's sin in your life, you need to repent of it and get rid of it. Turn away from it. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you can make the right decision. You can make a good sound decision by obeying the gospel. By hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, going in the water, rising up, becoming a new creature, and living the rest of your life standing for the things that are right. Not because they're legal, but for the things that are right according to Scripture. It could be that you're here this evening and there are some things in your life you just need the church to pray for. Let it be known as we all together sing Imitation of Song.